are listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Brothers and sisters, I'm feeling real good because it ain't over. Right before I die, I gotta...
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Well, good evening. We thank you for listening to our broadcast. I would like to take a moment and invite you to our Christ in the Marketplace conference. And that's going to be this October, the month of October, on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Our theme for this year is God's end time plan for the marketplace. I really believe that God wants us to possess the top of the mountains, or the top of the mountain of business, so we can influence society, culture through the marketplace. You know, a mountain is an elevated place, and you can look at it as a platform, and a lot of ungodly businesses and corporations at the top of this mountain are using this platform to push ungodly wickedness upon our society, and they're going after our children. Their goal is to change the culture of this society from godliness to ungodliness. We might not have the platforms yet to compete with a lot of these ungodly corporations, but we do have the money that feed these ungodly corporations. You know, I did about 4 years in the military, and they had this old saying that if you hit them in the pocket where it hurts. And so we see now that conservatives and Christian people are starting to take their money and to take it elsewhere, to restrain from going to certain businesses that are pushing these worldly, ungodly agendas. These corporations are using their platforms to launch and relaunch wickedness and ungodly agendas. A mountain is an elevated place, and fighting from an elevated position, holding the high ground, offers advantages. And so I want to invite you to come out. You know, we just can't sit back and say that ministries should not talk about money, especially when the Canadian government confiscated the people money to end the protests against the government. You know, when the government can do the wrong thing and then, forbid us to protest, this should be a wake-up call. And so I want to invite you to Christ in the Marketplace Conference, 250 North Babcock, 250 North Babcock, that's Florida, and that's October 11th, 12th, and 13th, going to be starting at 7:30, but we're going to fight our way up to the top of the mountain of business, the mountain of economics, and so I want to see you there. God bless.
We thank God for you today. We have a special treat for you. We won't put the program too long. Just a quick announcement. Don't forget that we have our Christ in the Marketplace Summit coming up, gathering coming up this 11th, 12th, and 13th at Victory International Praise, 250 North Babcock, 250 North Babcock. Praise God. If you ever had that desire, that urgency, praise God, that dream of wanting do something rather than what you're doing now, wanting to go into business, amen, starting up some type of business, praise God, we're there. We want to be there to help you, to activate you, to encourage you, to give you some enthusiasm, praise the Lord. And so anyways, we want to invite you to this meeting, and that's 250 North Babcock in the wonderful city of Melbourne, Florida. Amen. We have some great things that we want to share with you. Praise God, what the Bible has to say about business, and we want to impart and activate some things S-E-N-U, as the people of God. How you doing, man of God?
All is well, Pastor Apostle. We're good to be here again, man. It's exciting. Always exciting when I talk about the things of God. And I just hope the people are ready to open their hearts to hear what the Lord has to say today.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, without any delay, praise God, let's go ahead and get started. What has the Lord said, told the man of God for us today?
You know, it's so pivotal right now that the kingdom of God is raising up business men and women of God. When I look at the Bible, I see the mind of God. God has always looked like he's intended for his people to own businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think somehow in the church world, this revelation never got taught, so it never got caught.
My God.
Wow. And so God started, you know, again, we go back to say what we were saying last week, that how God created a garden. I mean, isn't it amazing? God planted a garden and then put Adam in there and said, here's your business. Take care of it and do what you need to do. And then later on, God took him from the garden and gave him animals. Mm-hmm. And so now he's a farmer. He's not just dealing with agriculture, but he's dealing with farm. And then if you notice, when you go to chapter 4 and you look at over a protracted period of time, you know, he had two sons, Cain and Abel. One was a farmer.
That's good.
And one was agriculture. And then we know that because when it was time to give, one brought from his and one brought from his, one brought from the his first fruit. And so we can see they both was businessmen. Even you can see the business legacy.
Right.
Been
passed on. Because that's one of the problems too, man of God, is that we don't pass it on to our children. And sometimes they don't understand the importance of it, because when it is passed on, all they want the now. Sometimes when they don't have the sweat equity involved in it, you know, we just want to sell it. We want the money. We want, you know, the load, instead of keeping it going and realizing that they're empowered to be a blessing.
Amen. Well, again, that goes back from the Bible saying in the process of time. When you look at Genesis chapter 4, it says in the process of time, Cain and Abel brought. So we have to know that their father Adam was training them how to present and how to keep legacy going. Because when you keep going, you see farmers, you see agriculture, you see it all through the Bible. When you see God's people, you see them doing farming or planting or something, or sheep herding, a flock, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so how is it that we get to the New Testament? But the Old Testament had a pattern of business, but the New Testament seemed to not have that pattern, but yet it's still there.
Yeah.
And so unless the leadership, the fivefold ministry of God began to educate and train the people of God. Number one, the man of God didn't understand that he has a obligation to teach this to his people so they can find the vision.
That's good.
And all we ever knew about, because of what our forefathers taught us in the church, all we knew about was tithes and offering.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't deal with the business side or that, but it was there. It's been there all along. So now in this hour, God is awakening the body of Christ out of the sleep to become businessmen and business ladies. And so that why? So we can find the vision of God. It's amazing when Solomon, when Moses, God told Moses to build the tabernacle, he said, tell my people to bring me my offering.
Mm-hmm.
Why? He said, I'm the one who gave you the businesses to get the money. So now I need it to do my work. Bring the money to build my tabernacle. So it's all about businessmen are designed to build the tabernacle of the church. God never extended for just to be settled on tithes and offerings.
Well, you're saying something good. You said a powerful word earlier. You said pattern. I believe that God established a pattern at the very beginning, just like you're talking about. What you see at the end, what you see at the beginning, you also ought to see it at the end. Because here, you know, we know that it took a blood sacrifice, praise God, and I believe that was a pattern that was established. So because God wanted us to see what was to come, and so he was able, he was bringing that sacrifice, and I believe what he had came out of order is that Cain was trying to bring something other than that sacrifice. It wasn't nothing for him to buy that another trade, his brother, and get a lamb and sacrifice that lamb. He tried to do it another way. Why? Because God establishes patterns. And so when you say pattern, because guess what? We have gotten away from the pattern that God has shown us from the very beginning, which we see in the book of Genesis.
Oh, yeah. Again, somehow we got into the Testament church and we lost sight of this major revelation that God established from the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that, watch this, who established business? God did. It wasn't man. So business is a God idea.
So why aren't we teaching it?
Well, again, because remember now, remember, in our church, they have taught us to take the vow of poverty. And then because they didn't understand the revelation of financial empowerment to the kingdom of God, they focus on money.
Ooh-wee.
Instead of focusing on the principles of money. And all the thing they know about it, and all the thing we learned about in the church, the love of money is the root of all evil. Yeah,
that's right.
And we trust that verse
because we forget about the love of money. And then you hear somebody say money is the root of all evil. I wonder why a lot of folks don't have money right now. They think money is evil.
That's just the church have taught that money is evil.
Yeah.
But money is not evil. If it was, why would God tell you to pay tithes if that's evil?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's money.
Yeah.
Why would we receive offerings if that's evil? Money. Because if it, so God is telling you to sin. No. That's a false conclusion about money.
Yeah. It's going to be twisted.
It's twisted.
Yeah.
And it's designed by Satan to keep you under oppression.
Yes. To keep you.
Wow.
To keep you under oppression. And that the church will never grow beyond that oppression.
The Bible says the children of this world are wiser than the children. They're not walking around wiser than the children of light. They're not walking around looking at money as evil. They're looking at it as something that they use to become productive in society.
All money is good. All money is designed to do is for goods and services.
Yeah.
Money is for exchange. It's an exchange. Because we didn't know how to handle money or have the right mindset about money, then people can actually love money. Well, you can love anything and become evil.
Yeah.
You can love your car and become evil and kill somebody because they put their hand on your car.
Yeah.
I mean, we see that all the time.
Yeah.
And then you can love money and don't have money and still be evil.
But
it's twisted. If you read that properly, he's talking about somebody that don't really have a good relationship with the Lord. And that what happens is when you love money, it becomes the root of all evil.
Yeah.
We're not telling you to love money. We're telling you to use it.
Yeah.
You know, you said something good. You said something wrong. Sometimes,
you know, we can get up and we can talk about money, but we don't teach about managing. We don't want to teach you in the Bible because about managing money. Every once in a while, we got this power couple in the church, and we have them to teach classes on, you know, how to manage money, because you can get money. God can put money in your hand. Sometimes God is waiting on us to grow up, you know, to grow up and mature in that area as far as knowledge. I look at this man, God, he's a good manager of what God has placed in his hands, because you're not a good manager, because guess what? They're going to increase. They're going to start, you know, increasing on all sides. And so not only that, do we need to teach people about God wanting them to have wealth, but then also God wanting them to be good stewards or managers. You look in the Bible, there are scriptures and parables about being a good steward. Go ahead.
Amen. Well, that's the other side. If you understand stewardship, you'll never love money.
Wow, that's good.
But because we have been taught stewardship, we have saw money as something else.
Mm.
But money, if we have the right stewardship and follow the patterns of God, then we won't run into loving money, because we'll love God more than we love money.
Mm.
And we love God because he first loved us. And so nothing should get in the place of your love towards God. But he loves you enough to help you to make money.
Yeah.
Now, but if you think money is evil, you're not going to even listen to him in that. And, you know, you know, we was raised in a certain denomination. They told us the more poor you are, the more holy you were. So I actually grew up with that mindset. And so, you know, I didn't want anything. I didn't want this. I didn't want that because I if I had too much, I might miss God.
Yeah.
And so we tend to run from that because that's a stronghold. I had to get rid of that stronghold. And then I used to preach against prosperity. I mean, I preached against prosperity for a while until I found out I was doing wrong. And I was preaching against God.
Yeah.
But thank God for deliverance.
Yeah.
But the objective is what I need to try to get you to understand is God used businessmen and women to help fund vision.
Yeah.
And then he asked for it. When he helped them to get it, he taught them how to become businessmen. I mean, when you read in the Bible, man, you got people that was stone cutters. You got people that was real skilled in building things with marble and all this kind of stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a lot of good skilled people in the Bible that God used to help build his tabernacle.
Yeah, yeah.
And so God sent people in, businessmen, and sometimes men of God and women of God don't know how to handle those businessmen.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And so instead of knowing how to work together as a team, they run them off.
You preach about, you know, Isaiah 60 talks about the business people, and God says, they shall come to my altar with acceptance. Sometimes we're not accepting or open to people, to business people, you know, and so what you're saying is so true. Sometimes we remind them of, we need what you need. You need a church full of them. You need business-minded people in your church. You know the people, let me show you something. The people that Christ recruited were business people. Every last one of them was business people. Well, you got to learn, that's what's wrong with this country. You got to run this country with a business mind. So we have the office, and they have business mind. They have like a social mindset. We just hand out money to everybody, but you got to have the business. And you got to be able to get rid of the business. Well, you need to be embracing, be accepted towards the business. I think like a businessman. I'm a businessman, but I think like a businessman also. So sometimes when as business people, we recognize that that's where you got some crap going on because you got people that don't have business mind and you know, forget the party. You just got to have people with a business mindset. When you're talking about running a nation, you can't run it as a social thing. You got to run it as a business.
It's so good, and I think, you know, even Jesus understood the business concept.
Yeah.
And because he said, I must be about my Father's business. And, you know, we always talk about the business of prayer and all those things are good. But it's also talking about the business of economics.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, we're blindsided to that.
Yeah.
And we know Jesus had money because he took collections. And the Bible said they gave to Jesus all the time. He never turned the money down.
Yeah.
Can't see why. He needed money to fund his vision. He needed money to travel and do the things he needed to do. I mean, listen, he even talked about, it's amazing when we look at the parable of the two mice.
Yeah.
We focus on the two mice, but what I focus on, the Bible said he had businessmen that were throwing in large amounts of money.
And money. he had people that was all up in the palace. Harold Stewart was dropping boatloads of money on him.
So but we had both people there.
Yeah.
But they all focused on the woman that had the two mice. So they missed the whole concept. No, look at the totality of it. But he's making an emphasis on this woman's heart. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, well, they really could have gave more. They just they gave out, you know, but they really could have given, like, this woman gave from their heart. They, you know, well, we want to help Jesus out. He's doing, he's out here doing, you know, community work, you know, a couple of $1,000. And that's basically the mindset that he was dealing with. He says, like, this woman here gave better than them because she gave from her heart. She just didn't. So, well, I'm going to give Jesus something because, you know, he's doing communion. No. She gave out of faith.
That's right.
And they didn't give out of faith. They just gave out of proportion. So you got to look at it from the totality of what. And then the Bible said that that Johanna and all of them, they came and they ministered unto Jesus of their substance. We know that he had a treasure because Judas was stealing out of the treasure. What in the money? So I'm just saying, even Jesus dealt with business people. Ladies and gentlemen, come on. We got to get in position in this end time to fund the vision of God. I'm telling you, because why? The kingdom of God is designed to take care of the kingdom of God. God has already put it in place. God has put a pattern. I want to read some, man of God, that keep coming up. When God told Moses to build a tabernacle, And then one of the most powerful scriptures, I think, deal with building or the sex of building, mm-hmm. using businessmen.
Mm-hmm.
Over here in Exodus 36, and Bezalel and Aholiab, and everyone wise-hearted man in whom the Lord had put wisdom, understanding, and how to do all the work for the service of the sanctuary shall work according to all the Lord. And Moses commanded Bezalel and Aholiab, every able and wise-hearted man in whom the mind of the Lord had put wisdom and ability, mm-hmm. everyone whose heart stirred him up to come to do the work. And they received from Moses all the freewill offerings, which were Israel, and they brought for the had brought for the doing the work of the sanctuary to prepare it for service.
Mm.
They continued to bring him freewill offerings every morning. And all the wise and able men who were doing the work on the sanctuary, these are businessmen,
mm-hmm.
On the sanctuary came, and every man from his work was doing. And they said unto Moses, the people bring much more than enough for doing the work which the Lord had commanded to do. And Moses commanded it to proclaim in all camp, let no man or woman do anything more for the sanctuary office. So the people restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. And all the able, wise-hearted men among whom did the work of the tabernacle made 10 curtains, fine lining, blue, purple, scarlet. I mean, everything that needed to come forth came forth from the business side of the church.
Yeah.
To where they didn't have to go to the bank and borrow.
Yeah.
Why? Businessmen have already positioned themselves to take care of the house of God. And God sent businessmen to make sure the vision is funded. Don't run them away. Learn how to work with them.
Yeah.
It was sent from God to help you advance what God has called you to do in your generation or in your territory. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage you to build a relationship with them, and then get someone in there like we do in this conference. Just get them to this conference. Listen, we're trying to get people to help you build. We ain't looking for no members. We're building the kingdom of God. And let me say that we're not looking for no members. We're building the kingdom of God. Help us help you build your vision by training and helping your people see that there's something in them can take your vision to the next level. Help us do that. Let us be a blessing to you. That's all we want to do. We're not trying to take money from you. We're trying to get money to you.
Yeah.
Help us. Praise God.
Man of God, you know, I just want to read Isaiah 60, starting at verse 6. It talks about, first off, God's talking about the glory and what happens, because the glory makes us attractive. But then he says a multitude of camels shall cover the dromedaries, Midians, and Ephah, and all from Sheba. It's dark in here, so I'm having a hard time reading. But shall come, they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praise of the Lord. Now, these are when you're looking at camels, we don't have camels nowadays. We have vehicles, but come on. You know, he's talking about, it's you can look at it as a picture of having vehicles, your parking lot full of vehicles and people bringing your offering. Verse 7, and the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebooth shall minister unto thee. Now, these are business people. Because, can I tell you something? When Christ was born, his first visitors were business people. They were shepherds. Sometimes we just look at them as maybe from a symbolic sense of just being preachers or just being, just shepherds, but we don't connect the business thing to it. They were business people, small business people. Oh, glory to God, red fox. And it says, they shall minister unto thee, and they shall come up with acceptance on that altar, and I will be glorified. And I will glorify the house of my glory. So in other words, we are just like the man of God is saying, we are supposed to accept the business people. And can I throw this out also? One of the things that they had a hard time receiving Christ is because guess what? When he came to his hometown, they could only see him as a business person. They couldn't see that he wore more than one hat. And sometimes people, when they're looking at people like you, man of God, who was a businessman slash a preacher of the gospel, pastor, come on, doctor, or whatever. They can only see you in one light, and so they don't take you serious. When Jesus came to his hometown, they say, isn't this the carpenter's son? Mm-hmm. Come on. In other words, we can only see him in one light. Come on. We can't see that he wears more than one hat. Because if you ain't just a preacher, you know, praise God, but maybe you ain't made it, you know. And so we can only see you as the carpenter's son. Where did you get these powers from? Where did you get these abilities from that you're doing that? Come on, I got news for you. The man of God can cook you a meal with his hands and you cast out devils. Come on, speak. And all of that, come on. Oh, boy, God, we got some bands. We got some good stuff we want to drop on you. You think this is good, man? Praise God. Now, let me say this.
Huh?
Just a minute. Let me say this, praise God. Some of you all may want to even begin now to sow into the anointing. Praise God, because sometimes, you know, when people are sowing, they don't understand. You're sowing into what's on that person's life. And so anyways, I want to give you our church cash app address, and that's $Women Unstoppable. That's two P's, $Women, WomenUnstoppable, Women Unstoppable. You'll see the name Teresa Robinson up underneath it when it pops up. Praise God. If you want to begin to sow, oh, glory to God, ahead of time, sow where you want to go. Sometimes we got to sow up. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we got to sow in the people's lives and stuff. And so if you want to sow in advance, praise God, into this gathering, into this summit, into this Christ in the Marketplace conference, praise God, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. Praise God, to be a blessing. Okay, all right, well, praise the Lord, we're just about out of time. This is the Monday broadcast. We want to see you back on Tuesday. Tell somebody, let the people know, praise God, about what's going on. Just don't, you know, get that information for yourself. He put up on yourself, you know, stop getting fat without releasing some of that fatness. So, praise the Lord. So anyways, that conference is going to be on the 11th, 12th, and 13th of this month. Victory International Praise, 250 North Babcock, 250 North Babcock. We want to empower the people. Too many of our people, we're looking at the audience and they're not there. There's lifelessness, there's restlessness, there's, you know, we want to empower the people. We want the people. We want to send them back to your church with knowledge. Oh, glory to God, the Bible's always on the ground today. We want to send them back to your church with knowledge and empowerment that they may go out and start businesses and be a blessing. And so, pastors, I want to, you know, encourage you, bring your congregation, you come with them, bring your congregation, bring your people. 250 North Babcock, 250 North Babcock, Melbourne, Florida, praise God, and that will start at 7:30, and that's the 11th, 12th, and 13th. All right, we'll come back with Brother Danny down here at the radio station. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Well, good evening. We thank you for listening to our broadcast. I would like to take a moment and invite you to our Christ in the Marketplace conference, and that's going to be this October, the month of October, on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Our theme for this year is God's end time plan for the marketplace. I really believe that God wants us to possess the top of the mountains, or the top of the mountain of business, so we can influence society, culture through the marketplace. You know, a mountain is an elevated place, and you can look at it as a platform, and a lot of ungodly businesses and corporations at the top of this mountain are using this platform to push ungodly wickedness upon our society, and they're going after our children. The goal is to change the culture of this society from godliness to ungodliness. We might not have the platforms yet to compete with a lot of these ungodly corporations, but we do have the money that feed these ungodly corporations. You know, I did about 4 years in the military, and they had this old saying that if you hit them in the pocket where it hurts,